Good to see each of you. Are you alive and well? Some of you look better than others. That's supposed to bring a smile to your face. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Book of Psalms, Psalm 24. Just as an introductory reading to a time where we can break bread together. Now, all of us here today face different challenges. All of us probably are carrying burdens, cares and concerns for people. For some of us, it's overwhelming, and we wonder who we can turn to. The breaking of bread is meant to be a place where we're reminded of our inability to deal with the challenges that we face in our own personal lives and even as it relates to our own families. We are not called to fix things. We're called to depend upon the Lord. The Lord's table is also a place where we come to remember all that He has done so that we might have life, a knowledge of sins forgiven, peace with God. Psalm 24 sort of points us in the direction of where we need to be in terms of our own walk with the Lord. We need to be conscious of, well, not so much about whether you and I could ever be perfect, but when it says in Scripture that you and I are to be perfect, that's one of the translations, it has to do with being mature. And a mature response to our world is a dependence upon God. A mature response to our world is about living as God designed us to live. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Everything that you and I get to see and witness was created for God's good pleasure, but He also created it for our pleasure. And the only way that you and I can respond to that is to be here today, is to give Him thanks. And so the Lord's table is a place of thanksgiving. It's also a place of confession. You mean confession? Well, sometimes while we're here in this setting, we're reminded of things that maybe we hadn't been aware of. As it relates to people, then we need to deal with that. But as it relates to our relationship with God, we confess. Confession is simply this: I agree with you, Lord, about what you say about me as it relates to my relationship with you. So the question is asked, who may ascend? That means to climb the hill. Jerusalem was located up on a hill. And God's people would go there, certainly at least three times a year, for national festivities. So who may ascend the hill of the Lord? It was the place where God said He would reside and forever have His name. Who may stand in His holy place? It's a good question, isn't it? Two good questions. Do you and I have a right to stand in the holy place of God? Do we have a right to be here as such? Now, you may be saying to yourself, no. But I want you to understand that the answer is yes, but it's only by virtue of the work of Christ. In fact, God commands you to be here as a believer. He wants you to be here to break bread. He wants you to remember all He has done for you, but He wants you to come in a particular way. And so the next verse says this: He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So now, boys and girls, you look down at your fingers, right? Is that what you do? No, that's a figure of speech. Yeah. It's a metaphor to basically look and see if it's obvious. Is there something in your life that you haven't dealt with? That earlier in the week or earlier today, you had not handled properly. It says, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, meaning that you and I are not actively involved in worshiping other gods, not even the gods of our own making. We should not be doing that. We should be worshiping the God of Scripture. Verse 5 says, that person who comes to God with a clean hands, a pure heart, will receive blessing from the Lord. Now, what does that blessing entail? That's a good question. It's a very practical question, because normally we ask questions like that because we're looking for something tangible, something that we can touch, something that we can see. Well, I want you to understand that the blessing from the Lord is not likely to be something that's related to some material. It's not related to a new car, new house, new toys. But it's the favor of God upon your life to know that God is pleased with you, to know that God loves you. He'll receive a blessing from the Lord and vindication from his God. In other words, God is going to look at your life as it relates to your sacrifice and your worship of God. And before everybody else, as it were, especially when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, says, this is my servant. Well done. And so you'll be vindicated for having lived a godly life. God will speak in front of all and say, this is my son, this is my daughter. So such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And so in a future day, the Lord Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem again. We know that there's a new Jerusalem, but before the new Jerusalem arrives, there's going to be a rebuilding of, well, today's Jerusalem, if you will, during the thousand-year reign of Christ. And the Lord will enter there. And national Israel will look upon their king, and they'll say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So who is this King of glory? Well, who is he? Well, he's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Of course, at this point in time, when the Lord enters Jerusalem on that day, there would have been a battle that would have been fought. It's called the Battle of Armageddon that we read about in Scripture. So lift up your head, O you gates, lift up your heads, means here the leaders who are going to be in the gates, who are the gatekeepers, they would be somewhat similar to our councilmen and our mayor and so on. They're the watchers of the gates, if you will. But this is meant to be understood in a spiritual sense, those who are mature, who have been called upon to watch over. So lift up your heads, you elders, gatekeepers. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And who is this King of glory? It's the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. It's meant to give you a picture. Here you are today, and in a future day we're going to see the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The disciples were told that, even as they walked with the Lord Jesus, and they understood that as they broke bread. Little did they understand fully, but they began to comprehend, and as they began to establish the church, they understood that when the Lord Jesus asked them to come and break bread, that it needed to come with a pure heart, clean hands. Let's just bow in a word of prayer, and then I'll ask others of you to come and share. Thank you, Lord, for each one here today. Thank you for this beautiful psalm. Lord, everything that is ours actually comes from you. Everything that we see was created by you. And you've allowed us the privilege of just simply recognizing that and then to be here today and to give you glory, give you honor, to be thankful. We do confess, Lord, that we don't worship you as we ought. We're not sure that we know how. We're simply here in somewhat an imperfect way with all kinds of mixed motives, and all of us are carrying different burdens and cares. And so, Lord, would you just draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you, even as your word is expressed. And as we break bread together and we hear different ones share from your word, you just remind us how deeply loved we are by you. And as we seek to break bread, as we seek to do so in honor of you, we do so in unity. And we thank you that there are men and women, boys and girls around the world today who are breaking bread in remembrance of you as the King of glory. So bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to open this up now to any one of you men who want to share something from the Word or in prayer. Please feel free to come forward.
I ask you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. I'll read verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you so much for the truth, your truth that you've revealed to us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to die for us so that we could be free. We just want to thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
To Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just humbled at the reminder that you love us so much that even before we were born, that you had this plan in place and that you provided a way for us to have a relationship with you again. Just so very grateful for that. And just pray that I wouldn't forget that throughout the week. Just thank you so much for your love. Amen.
To read from Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your amazing gift of grace that we can accept freely. And Lord, I just pray that each person here would come to really appreciate this gift, that it wasn't easy for you to send your son to us. And that we're just thankful that we could be saved from our transgressions. Thank you for your son, and thank you that we have your word to read into and to hear this message of saving grace. Lord, I pray that you would be with each person here as well, and that you would work in their lives. I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Bibles to Luke 21, verse 33. I was reading through this passage earlier this week, and this verse really stuck out to me. Verse 33, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And this week I was thinking about how reliable that we can trust that this is the Word of God, and that everything that we read, we can have confidence in it and know that nothing's been changed, but that this is what God would have us have and read for ourselves to encourage us and to instruct us. And as we think about the Passover and the great things that God has done for us, it's something that of encouragement too, that we know that nothing's been changed or altered. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, just I want to thank you, Lord, for your word, and that we can be sure of it, and that we could remain steadfast in our lives, knowing that you are much bigger than we could ever hope or dream or imagine, and know that you are taking care of us, and we can rely on your word to instruct us and to teach us and encourage us. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning. I would like to read Psalm 121 as an encouragement of my brother to. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in this hour and I want to thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for this church family we found a home. And Lord, I thank you for your word you preserved for us, and just encouragement we get from it, that if we seek you, you will be our guide, you will watch over us. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bless the rest of the service. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, men, for sharing. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 16 briefly. And if you have a map in the back of your Bible, you might want to turn there. I wonder what people are saying about who Jesus is up in Kustatak. Oh, what do you mean? Why does that matter? We live here in Winkler. I wonder what people are saying about Jesus in Moosonee, Ontario. Does it really matter? We live in Winkler. Well, who do you say Jesus is in Winkler? Caesarea Philippi, if you have a look at the map, you'll notice that it's north of the Sea of Galilee. In some of your Bibles, it's called Peneus. Okay. Can everybody see it? Can you see it in your maps? You look at me, you won't see it on your map. Yeah. Which map am I looking at? I don't know. Which one are you looking at? I'm looking at one that had Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and further north of the Sea of Galilee, right along the tributary that feeds in to the Lake Galilee. You'll see probably about 15 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, Caesarea Philippi. You see it? Yeah? Okay. Does it really matter what people think? Well, the answer was, of course, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah. Like, I mean, popular opinion is. But what about you? What about you? You who have spent time with me. Like, I mean, why are you hanging with me after all? Like, why would you be hanging around with the Lord Jesus if you didn't believe he was someone significant? And why are you here today if you don't believe that he is someone that is significant? Why would you break bread in his name? Why would you confess your sins? Why would you worship him? Now, in a country like Canada, where we still have freedom to do that, there's really no risk. But there may be a day where it will be very risky. We may not be able to meet like this. In fact, in a future day, it's guaranteed that that will be the case. And there are parts of the world today where people cannot gather freely. In fact, they give themselves some kind of a code. They find a way in which they can communicate. And let's meet here. Or they just pass each other notes. They're not using public media. They're not using Facebook and Twitter and whatever else that's out there. They're not passing each other emails, but they know each other. And if you were to ask them what they think about Jesus, who do they say, or who do you say I am? Well, they'd probably think of Psalm 24. You're the King of Glory. Lift up your head, O you gates, that the King may come in. Because the King is coming. Does it matter what you think today about who Jesus is? Yes, it does. Because it affects the way that you approach the table here today. The value in terms of the death of Christ. Why did Jesus die? Did he have to die? Did people crucify him, or did he give up his life? It would be yes to both. Could we be saved without his death? No. Why? Because His blood needed to be shed, symbolic of the life-giving blood that gives you and I life today. Was the resurrection necessary? Yes. What does that mean? That means to come alive. The Bible says that you and I have passed from death to life. And in John chapter 11, verse 26 and 27, that he who believes in Christ, though he dies, yet shall he live. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that was to be sent, the one we read about in the Old Testament, Hebrew Bible. In fact, you are the Son of the living God." Now, do you get that? You just got to ponder that for a moment. We're going to meet the living God. We don't worship a dead God. Worship a living God. The old hymn, right? "To God be the glory. I serve a risen Savior." Yeah. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Any one of you here today, in light of Peter's confession, which at that point was no threat, because Jesus was meeting with them privately. But what if you and I were to declare that in front of people who say, "Well, that's just your opinion"? Listen, it is not our opinion. Why is that? Because it says here, "Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Well, how was it revealed? Well, it was revealed through the life. It was revealed through the miracles. It was revealed through the testimony of the Word of God. It was revealed by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It was not something that he just stumbled along and came up with some philosophical idea that says that Jesus is the Son of God. No, it was found in Holy Scripture. And it was lived out before him. He said, "Well, hold it. How come I don't see that so clearly as you do?" "Well, I only see it clearly because I'm spending time right here. I love Psalm 121, Nick. Thank you. I love Philippians chapter 2. Thank you. I love that passage in Luke. Thank you." Kevin, I did enjoy your passage too. So, yeah. Listen to what it says here. "I give you the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What does that mean? Does that mean that you and I can just sort of willy-nilly say that you're going to be great here on earth? What do you think? No, probably not. Because that's not going to happen by me saying it. No. Although I'd like you to be great. But if you're going to be great in God's kingdom, guess what you have to be? What do you think? Do you know? Ask your mother. She'll tell you. You'll get to do the dishes after lunch. Yeah, you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to be the servant of all. I'm not sure if I want to be so great anymore, right? What does it mean? Why does Peter get this seemingly delegated authority? And is that authority been granted to you and to me? Yes, it has. It's not a defense for being a pope. It's not a defense for being a bishop or a pastor or anything else. It's authority that comes when you and I live out the principles of God's kingdom. And so when you forgive people, Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. We have the same saying found in verse 18. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would, a pagan or a tax collector. So now the church has to gather and come with a decision based upon this matter. But whatever those matters are in life, God is saying to Peter, as you seek me, I'll give you the wisdom so that you can rule with the authority that I have granted you. I give the church the authority to rule, subdue the earth, and so on, as we read in Genesis, as a rule that was given to Adam, and in a future day we get to co-rule with Christ on the earth during the millennial kingdom. He says, I'm giving you that authority today. And if you seek me, I'll give you the wisdom to be able to do that right. And so then we read in verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what are we doing today? Are we doing some binding and loosing? Well, there are no direct decisions that we're making, but I'll tell you what we are doing. We are agreeing with God today that what he commanded us to do in breaking bread, in remembering his son, in his death and his resurrection, taking time to read and to pray and to nurture our families in holiness, God says, that brings reward. That brings peace. That brings unity. And those are the things that God wants his kingdom and his future kingdom will look like. Who do you say Jesus is? Hopefully you're not living in fear of telling others about the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean you should tell people off because you believe in the Lord Jesus. It means that you need to be gracious in living out your faith. And then as you have an opportunity and people who are questioning why certain things are happening to their lives, you can give them an answer and you can point them to the Lord. Those of you who are serving this morning, if you would come forward at this time. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. What we read in Matthew chapter 16 and chapter 18 were written so that they can be passed on and your children to their friends and so on. So some might ask you, what'd you do on Sunday? Oh, we just ate a little bit of bread, drank some grape juice. What'd you do that for? We were hungry. After all, it was past 12 o'clock. No, that's not what you're going to say. Hopefully not, anyway. What'd you do that for? How often do you do that? Well, they did it on a daily basis in the early church. We used to do it on a weekly basis. Lived in Wawa, we did it twice a month. And then when we first came here, we broke bread three times a year. I said, I'd like to do this every week. Won't that get old real fast? No. It never gets old to hear young men coming up and praying and opening God's word. It never gets old to see people worship God in spirit and in truth. It never gets old remembering all that Jesus did for us. Because I'm a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. I don't stand here because I'm worthy, but because I've been granted life. The Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church. He understood the necessity to remember, as Jesus commanded us to, that he gave his life so that we might have life. So as you bow your heads, I want you to think about who you really are. You are a son and daughter of the King, but only by God's grace. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You can't do anything to keep that status. You can only humbly say, "Thank you, Lord." And that's what we're doing today. Ask one of the men to come up and give thanks for the loaf.
We thank you, Lord, for dying and shedding your blood for us. And as we take this today, Lord, I just please pray, Lord, that we wouldn't do it flippantly, but that we would remember your body and how much you've given for us, and help us to remember also everything that you blessed us with. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's pray. We thank you, dear Lord, for your marvelous grace. We really don't have words to really describe how great you are, how great the gift is that you've given to us. We do thank you for it, and we just want to show our gratitude, Lord, and we want to never, ever forget the price that you paid so that we could be set free. We just ask you to bless the cup as we partake of it as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when the Lord returns, this institution, as we are in observing it here today, will no longer be necessary. During the millennium, they'll be doing something different. Not sure if there's going to be a breaking of bread service as such, but there'll be a way of remembering. Let's stand together and we'll close in a word of prayer. Now, the person next to you, they know the Lord, is a brother or sister in Christ. Chances are they're going through things you know nothing about. Why don't you make a mental note of remembering who's next to you? Other than your family, I mean. Okay. Make a point of remembering them in prayer this week. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together, to do so in unity, to do so with the purpose of praising you, worshiping you, acknowledging, Lord, on the one hand that we are in need of a Savior, sinners. On the other hand, we recognize that we've also been called sons and daughters of God by virtue of our faith in you. We thank you that we have been so marvelously delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. And one day, Lord, we know that when you return, we'll be delivered from the very presence of it. And so we pray, Lord, that today and days to come, as we have opportunity, that we might confess, as Peter did, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we would give a clear testimony as to why we believe, and we might help people understand that you're a wonderful Savior, that others can know that they have peace with God and their sins can be forgiven. So thank you for each one. Undertake for different ones who carry burdens that we know nothing about. Give them wisdom and strength. And those of us who walk with others who have, where we know some things, and help us to pray wisely and supportively. And help us, Lord, to do what we can to walk with one another. So thank you for each one here. May you be honored and glorified through our lives in this coming week, and anticipating, Lord, your soon return. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Greet each other with a holy handshake.